says the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Podbay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a synthlet of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Dan? Dan Green, Nima Vadadi, and Ben Stone, is it working?
I feel it.
I feel so good.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I'm not really feeling anything, but as long as three of you are, that's fine. That's fine.
Well, you're the giver. We're the receivers, so it's just like whatever to you, right?
I'd also like to say at this point that the Freedom Fiends is actually covering a bit less, but a lot more about that at bipcot.org.
Cool.
Cool.
Nima.
I'm listening.
We've got Nima Vadadi with us.
They're back.
That's a treat.
I know. I'm very, very casual about that, yeah.
So let me do the formal introduction. Okay. Nima Vadadi of Texas. May I introduce Dan and Katie Green from Scotland? The formal
Greens.
Formal radio introduction.
Hello, Nima.
Yeah.
Shake virtual hands here.
I've heard you guys on the radio, and I actually did talk on the radio show with you guys for a little bit. I called Michael when I was sitting in traffic,
and
he was like, "Here, I'm gonna patch you through."
And you're like,
and I
"What?"
Guess, yeah, you guys could hear me, but I couldn't hear you. But
oh dear, okay, yeah, we were sort of using Michael as a middleman there. It was quite. Remember that it was one of the really earlier shows that we actually did with
it was,
Michael.
It was. Yes, and I remember Michael emailing or texting or whatever he did. He was like, "I got these awesome new Scotsmen on. Come listen now."
Awesome,
I was like,
Scotsman.
"Oh, okay, sure."
Oh, awesome!
So yeah. I actually I had some Scottish students in high school when I went to high school. Laura and Malcolm. Yeah, that was their names.
Laura and Malcolm. I know them.
Yeah, you know them. Yeah.
It's a very, very small place.
Scotland has like 100 people anyway, right?
Yeah, so. Yeah. We're like a small island. We're all wearing kilts and the haggish run free.
We're amongst sheep just now.
Yes, there's a lot of sheep in this room. I'm looking outside.
Constantly playing golf.
Constantly. Yep.
Yeah. I forget their haggish's name, but I think you guys probably all pet the same haggis over there anyway. So.
Yeah. We all have the one haggis and we worship him on Haggis Day. That's how it works over here in the moors of Glasgow.
Well, I brought that up because when you guys talk, it totally reminds me of them. And I used to just sit there and I'd want to have a conversation with them just so I could hear their awesome accents.
Wow.
Squiddle. That's how they said squirrels. Squiddle.
A squiddle. 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 That there is
like a
classic. This is a classic old Scottish man thing where you you walk up to a Scottish, like, Dan, your dad does it.
Oh, they walk up to people and go, "Excuse me, Jim."
Yeah, well, they call everybody Jim.
Like, if they don't know your name, they just go, "Excuse me, Jim."
And then they also, they just, you know, they kind of talk like that and they sound quite surprised, you know. Everything
and they always
say,
sound really surprised, older Scottish
men. Older Scottish men are surprised at everything that you say. I like old people. There's a great Scottish show called Still Game, which is
like a sitcom.
It's a sitcom, Scottish sitcom.
Maybe
set in a fictional
old guys,
Scottish town. Two old guys, quite funny.
Played
anyway,
by young guys.
We were talking about Scottish accents and stuff, Ben. I know there's something you wanted to talk about.
Film. The great old movie, not super old, but Mike
it's
Meyer
old
movie.
It was 1993.
Way back in the silent era, in my day.
In the 90s. Okay.
So I married an axe murderer. So that's it's really kind of a weird little movie that Mike Myers did as sort of like, you know, he had made it big. He had gotten the attention from Wayne's World and stuff and from Saturday Night Live. And that was his first just Mike Myers project, I think, as well as I remember.
I think. Sorry, Ben, on you go.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm jumping in far too early. No, I'm just saying, I'm just thinking out loud. I'm saying, I think it was Wayne's World he did, and then So I Married an Axe Murderer, and then Wayne's World 2.
I believe so. Yeah, I think so.
I think so.
I don't think he would have been able to get away with doing So I Married an Axe Murderer had he not done Wayne's World and been successful at it first, because So I Married an Axe Murderer is kind of a weird little niche movie that like... You know, 14 people got it when it first came out.
I thought it was big. I watched it, and I thought it was awesome. But was it really that quirky at the time? I mean, I was young, so I just thought whatever I saw on the movies or TV was like game, but did people like make fun of it or what?
I don't know. I don't remember it really making a big impact in the theaters. I didn't look it up like on, you know, Internet Movie Database or whatever to see what the initial impact was.
Although how old were you in 1993 when it came out, Ben?
Oh,
a decade.
Yeah,
give,
I was 100.
Give me a range. You don't have to give me a.
I was 114.
105.
I notice as I get older, and I'm in my early 30s now, as I get older, I have no idea what movies are out anymore.
I have no concept of time.
Like, yeah, I hear a movie, and it's always a sequel. It's like...
on a remake.
Something, something three. No, yeah. Like Fast and Furious, right? Fast and Furious 17.
Fast and Furious 18.
And I was like, what? How have there been that many? I have no idea what's going on. I feel like Towley in the South Park episodes.
Towley from the South Park episodes is funny.
I saw the first Fast and Furious film, and then I wasn't really interested after that. And then all of a sudden, it's like Fast and Furious 8. And you're
but the guy died. The guy, the main guy died. So I don't think
he was going too fast.
Paul Walker.
Furiously.
He was. He died in a car accident. Irony, some might say. I don't know.
Was that the fact guy?
That's how he died, yeah.
That's weird, man.
Yeah, high speed.
You can never tell if a Scottish person's joking or being serious.
Do you know what? You can't. But I think if you Google that, that's accurate. He died.
He did.
So
yeah.
May he rest in
Still,
peace.
Still, I have no idea if I should actually Google that or if you're making fun of me.
No. Paul Walker. No, I'm sure he's
She's
dead.
She's got a name, okay. Man.
I'm serious. He was a blonde man. And I don't know that much else about him.
Yeah, actually,
we'll never be making fun of you intentionally.
Not long after he died, I put together all the notes to do a podcast comparing his auto crash and death to what was the journalist that died in a
Michael Hastings.
Michael Hastings, yeah.
I think was,
because there's a lot of parallels between the two. Yeah, but there's a lot of parallels between the two as far as the actual accident goes. But the difference being that one car mysteriously blew itself all to pieces, throwing the engine 100 yards away from the vehicle. And the other one just hit and slowly, over about 5 minutes, caught on fire and burned the occupants. So, and one was designed...
You never did that episode, actually, though, did you?
I never did.
Do it now.
Do it right now, Ben.
I actually had all the notes put together for like 12 different mysterious deaths that all took place in 2012. And because of circumstances I won't go into on the radio, I chose not to do that episode.
So we obviously
so you didn't
want to
end up being
out...
13.
Number 13. it's just, we obviously have to figure out now what these people had in common and who their enemy was and who was after them. I have my tinfoil hat on. As does Dan. As does the dog.
No, but it is interesting, isn't it, when you see things like that and there's all these kind of bizarre correlations between them and it makes you kind of wonder, doesn't it?
It does make you think, though, doesn't it? I actually haven't heard of this. Is this like a proper, I hate to use the term conspiracy theory, Ben, but is there like a lot of stuff to do with that?
Is it not the term suiciding someone?
The Hastings death was definitely a conspiracy theory here in the States, if I can use that for our friends over there. But I haven't heard it with the Paul Walker thing.
That's the
guy's name, right? Fast and Furious guy.
I use Walker as an example of a high-speed crash that took place in a modern vehicle where the autopsies were released right away, where the vehicle hit, did not mysteriously explode. The engine stayed in the vehicle. You know, all the normal.
So he was the control group to say that this is how it normally should happen.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not trying to say his death was anything.
Right.
You're just trying to
say
this is what a normal one looks like. What happened to Hastings?
Yeah, yeah. But again, I don't want to really go into that because it's all kind of crazy tinfoil.
Let's maybe move away from this.
Yeah.
we'll
get back
go,
to So
okay.
I Married an Axe Murderer.
Yeah, fun.
Because there's no conspiracies that I know of in regards to Michael Meyer.
not yet.
We haven't seen a Mike Myers movie in 5 years.
This is the
right?
Fiend Phone, Unnecessary Random Reeducation Interruption Exigency System, or Furries.
And Michael Dean drops in again.
What's up, y'all?
We've been expecting.
I thought that was a recording at first. I was like, I didn't know this was a Fiend Phone feature.
Yeah, it's a Fiend Phone feature that it's the back door that only I have. Yeah, and it only works for fiends. Like, I can't interrupt random strangers on the internet. Just fiends.
Yes.
Yeah, so yes.
not yet.
Spring 2016.
It's coming. It's coming.
It's called the Hillary plug-in. Yeah,
the furries are coming.
Yes, the furries. Hi, Nima.
Hey, Michael. Good to
hear you, man. Taking over my show. I had to get in there.
Ben invited me.
I know. I was like, I got this email and I was like, I'm barely awake, but I'm not gonna let this happen without me being on it. I want to talk to Nima.
You sound good, man.
Is this a five-person Fiends?
I sound good. Yeah, it is. Tonight's going to be like, that was last week. Never mind. Last week we had like 72 Fiends at once on the 700th episode.
Yeah,
I sound okay, but I could sound better. I'm recovering, and I'm gonna mute and listen to you guys and do my lung ablutions here pretty soon.
What's an ablution?
That sounds
ablution.
I want to know.
What's a? I don't know, Katie. What's an ablution?
It's like a daily thing. So I've come across this bizarrely in occult books where they say before you do your daily ablutions, and it means like you're sort of washing, like you're shaving, you're brushing your teeth, you're all that kind of thing, as far as I understand. But bizarrely, I know that from occult books.
That's funny.
From a what book?
Ablution.
From occult
books. Occult.
I think it comes up in an Israel Regardi book, actually.
Yeah. You know, Nima sounds a little quiet to me. Is he quiet to you guys?
I always get that. Do I still sound quiet?
I haven't gotten to say this to Nima yet. Get up on the mic, son, like you're on the radio.
Yeah, I'm on the radio. Yeah. Well, I'm trying to back away when other people are talking. So
I started saying that to young Nick, who was 15 at the time. And you'd think I wouldn't have to say that to the co-founding fiend here.
Ah, yeah. Well, when I record my rap lyrics,
for your rap music,
I've got the gain down a little bit because then I bump it up in post. But I've gotten away from the live, so I have to readjust.
Yeah, man, the live is like all, you never fix it in the mix. It's all, you got to do it loud and clear.
Loud, yeah.
Music, the music's coming in. It's live.
We should go to the free market.
Yeah.
Okay.
And have a conversation about the madness that's happening here.
Well, I'll do my ablutions and then come back, but I'll be listening.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. Weird.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
This is what radio sounds like.
Okay.
Furries.
Freedom Fiends. I turned up the gain and the threshold, Michael. I think that was the problem with the threshold. I had a brick wall.
You did. Can you hear this sound?
Yeah.
You have a dentist?
I'm nebulizing. So Nima wants to know something about dental care in Scotland.
Yeah. What did you ask where he was?
Oh, we should give the how we got to that point in the conversation.
This is green.
I had said that weird sound coming from Michael's side sounds like the sound that you have in a dental office right before the drill hits your teeth and the smell of burning teeth.
The drugs I'm huffing cost $800 too, but they don't cost me that because of the Obamacare's. It's good.
The Obamacare's.
And Nima, are you on? Do you have healthcare yet?
I have healthcare through my day job, and it's really good. So I never needed to join the Obamacare.
Well, you should get better healthcare so you can get all the asthma drugs cheap.
Oh, yeah, they charge me still a bunch of money for the Advair, but I didn't get it. I was like, I don't need it.
They don't charge me anything. They charge me like $30, and that's like $500 a month, too.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
So are we going to have
Obamacare? Thanks. Thank you. Thanks, Obama.
are we going to have anonymous people now signing on to Freedom Fiends website to attack you because you're a fake anarchist that takes free stuff from the government and you ought to be, you know, whatever.
No, because the catch, I think you can sign up. I think you can sign up for Obamacare on Fiends. We get a kickback. Yeah. No. Well, I guess we could discuss that. People who, let's talk about the guy. Let's talk about Jack Spirko.
No, I don't want to talk about Spirko.
Oh, with Spirko, I heard he was throwing shots.
No, let's not. This is too fun with these people to do this. We can't talk about Spirko.
I don't know space who that beef. Is. I'm so sorry.
We're in Alpha Centauri, so it's space beef, man.
You don't know who is the dentist?
Barack Obama is a liar. He's a socialist in his feet.
I know who that. And,
Jack Spirko just lives by borrowed authority. That's the new term I like.
Sorry, who is that? Who is this person?
Oh, borrowed. He's a guy with a survival.
No, he's evil. He's bad. he's not evil. He's just someone who.
He's a marketeer.
Yeah, he doesn't like me or Ben.
Yeah.
None of this is helping me.
He doesn't
me
know who I am,
who
but he hates
is.
Me.
It's a fiend to know basis. So.
Oh, okay.
It's not a green to know basis.
I don't need to know. Okay. All right. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, it involves. Fiendsian economics.
see, we're on the other side of Intergalactic Predator Studios, hence why we need Fiend Phone to speak to each other. Yeah. So we're too far away. That's their department.
We're yeah. really far
that's,
away.
It's a big hallway. It goes all the way over there. And I can't
believe it. I love perspective.
You guys have like see, when I hear that, I just think it should be like a big building, like the
it
big
is.
Scientology building.
No.
Yes, you're in it. It's what,
like,
are you joking?
No, but like a big...
But without the cool logo, that's just that's such a great logo. It looks like it's such a...
I know, I hate them, but
oh,
they
the
have the Scientology logo.
Well, it kind of looks
really
like
looks imposing.
The cross,
it's getty.
The cross kind of looks like this Temple of Psychic Youth cross, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Which I think they're both taken from the... like the Greek Orthodox Russian, I don't know. I don't want to talk about Scientology. I don't.
Okay.
I haven't paid my lawyer yet. My lawyers are.
I feel that we should move back to the lightness of the conversation of this.
Well, we wanted to talk about dentists. You have one dentist, and you share one.
False teeth. We have one dentist in this small
one dentist,
town.
One dentist, Steve, that's over
one
there.
One dentist,
Steve,
one haggis.
Yeah, Steve.
And
Steve,
they're all
one
the same
haggis.
Building.
And we share.
Do you guys
a pet
like the haggis?
The
pet haggis.
Actually,
very,
I'm
going to
be perfectly honest. I do like haggis. And
I
see
love,
here,
I
haggis
love
is,
haggis.
Haggis isn't a big deal, right? But there is such a thing here as vegetarian haggis. You can
it's
buy that in supermarkets.
It's all conspiracy. The haggis ruins your teeth and keeps the one dentist in business. Is
Green's,
that it?
Green, stop.
That's exactly
stop racially oppressing me.
I'm racially oppressing you.
Because I'm British, and you're making jokes about bad teeth. You guys are racially oppressing me.
Hold on, are you British? Back up.
Wait a minute.
What
part of Britain are you from?
At what point did that happen? I don't understand.
My middle name is Wareham, and that is the part of Britain my family is from.
Oh, I thought you were Jewish. I thought it was Wareheim.
I'm not.
Wareheim.
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 Did that not make it German?
Can we say that on the radio?
Am I allowed?
Like, Wareheim, yeah. I thought it was German.
Wareheim. Enough. Boys, boys.
I think that would be Saxon, actually, if you go back far enough.
They kicked Saxondale, yeah.
I love Saxondale.
Stone sounds like a British last name. Ben Stone. Stone.
I believe
isn't
it
that
was.
What you guys call? That's how you measure weight in England, right?
Yeah,
stone.
Yeah. Stones.
Yeah.
Like
stone. Yeah. We do weight in stones.
How many
one stone
pounds
is
a stone?
14 pounds.
That's so random. Why?
Dude,
I've spent my whole
that's
life
weird.
Asking that question. I have
don't
no idea.
Don't press me, Diva.
Dan, stop yelling at the man. Okay, we're just trying to do the video.
Nina's Persian. Do you know Nina's Persian?
Are you allowed to say Persian?
No, well, my
no, we're gonna have to bleep that.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you?
by only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CatMuff, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CatMuff. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Can I be a screaming fiend?
Screaming fiend? Freedom Fiends, brought to you by Big Pharma.
This is the Freedom Fiends version of...
How big is your pharma, Michael?
Thanks, Obama.
The Freedom Fiends version of the Pink Floyd song Breathe.
Well, here's the thing. If like, I want to be a good anarchist and not use the Obamacare, is I could pay $600 a year in fines and not have health insurance and die. I guess there's people who think point. If I took colloidal uranium enemas and, like, snorted sagebrush, people keep telling me all these fake crap to do instead, but this is working. Yeah.
I mean, when you're forced to do something, it's not really bad to actually do it. I mean, you could be a martyr and go on hunger strike like the dudes in Guantanamo, but they get force-fed anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
You're not going to get anywhere.
Government baby food.
Yeah, and considering...
Yeah. When the guys at Guantanamo died, they're committing terrorism against the prison guards by killing themselves.
Say? Is that what they tell them?
Yeah, they called it, what's the term they used? Asymmetrical warfare. Yeah. Killing themselves to gain bad PR for Guantanamo Bay.
Wow.
Well, they're not necessarily killing themselves. They're not eating, and I think they're assuming the government might give in to their demands, but no, the government just lets them die and says they're terrorists.
Well, they shove a rubber hose down their nose and pour them full of liquids to keep them alive.
I have a rubber hose in my mouth right now, but it's really pleasant, actually. I'd rather do this at home.
Did you guys see Mos Def actually had himself force-feeded Guantanamo style? Like the exact protocol.
Yeah, that's
they
what
used
news people should do instead of just getting zapped like you did. Nima got tased on camera for the news.
It was nowhere near as hardcore as Mos Def getting force-fed.
That one radio dude.
Was there video?
How was it getting tased, Nima?
It was kind of interesting. It's like, it feels like you get hit by a brick in the face, and then you can feel nothing but pain as long as it's going on. And then as soon as it's over, you get this rush of endorphins, and you feel like really relieved. Like,
because I'll tell you,
I have an EpiPen. It feels kind of like that, I'll bet.
Probably.
No, just because our police here are not armed, but some of them do have tasers. I mean, that's one of the weapons that they're allowed to have here, Dan, is it not?
I believe so.
Remember, it's
can't you
less
just kick
than
him
lethal,
in the nuts and run
so
away?
You definitely
you
die
could,
from a
Michael,
taser.
You could. Yeah.
They'll hit you with a big stick.
Yeah, they carry around big batons here. It's like a
Nima and I carry. Nima and Ben and I carry a bigger stick.
A boomstick, if we want to use
a short
Evil Dead
3.
This is my boomstick.
Army of Darkness reference, nice.
You gotta get it in there.
Oh yeah. My.
So this all started with us trying to reference a movie that we weren't able to reference.
Yep.
And that's why you should watch So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Yes. In classic Fiend style. Bring up a subject, dance around it for half an hour.
Yep.
See, I don't know, and I should actually look this up, but I think Mike Myers has... I was going to say, I think McVyers has Scottish parents or something, doesn't he?
Well,
that's why he always does
always making Scottish jokes.
Even in Austin Powers, he had a Scottish character, which I'm not sure we can say the name of on the radio, but his first name was
Fat Beastard. Yeah.
Yes.
Fat Beastard.
Fat illegitimate child man.
It's just so gross.
Oh,
that
wow.
character well, makes me sad.
I was watching Tropic Thunder yesterday, and it was censored. They didn't say full retard. Ew. They said full special.
Artard. Full special?
That's yep, even over funnier. And over. You never go full special.
Never go full special.
Wow.
At first, I thought you were going to say they changed the contrast. They put it on inverse, so he wasn't in blackface.
Donnie looks white.
Yeah. Because it was too offensive.
Downey and Stiller
Downey.
Are really
that
good
so
in the same
funny.
Scenes, man. They're so weird like, together.
Like, it's just hilarious. Like, when you're watching that movie and you're looking at them and you're going, this should be racist, but it's not. It's
oh, that movie got
it's funny.
Like, yelled
I mean,
at by, like, you know,
oh, the
retard,
social justice
retard
warriors,
groups.
Yeah.
black groups and like Vietnam vet groups.
But he did a good job. Like he did it good. And then
it's amazing and weird.
Do you know what, Dan? I have to rewatch. We have to rewatch it. I'm a Jack Black fan. I'm a Stiller fan.
It proves the inverse corollary between offensiveness and funniness. It can be racist AF as long as it's funny enough. It doesn't matter.
That's a good point.
I have to. I'll be back. I have to gargle. Oh, hang on. I have to go gargle, or I'll get a yeast infection in my throat.
Oh, dude, seriously. Yeah.
That's the side effect of steroids. You know that. You dose these out to people. Don't you, Katie?
Yep.
Yeah.
Katie gives
steroids.
Yeast infections?
Yes, I get them on a daily basis. I work in a pharmacy. I work for a pharmacy, so.
Somebody's headphones aren't tight enough. Nima, is it your Muslim beard getting in the way?
Yeah, it is.
Get it out of there.
It's my turban.
He's not Muslim.
No, I'm not wearing my turban.
Nima, before we went to the break, Michael said Persian. Is that a phrase that you like?
Is that racist?
Is it cool?
We call that the P word. It's very offensive.
P word. It's quite.
No, I'm kidding. Okay. No, it's fine. Right. It's fine.
I have no idea what's allowed. Like, I have no idea.
Anything.
I say
allowed.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
it's like one time we told Davy Barker a racial slur that people use. Not Davy Barker. It was actually Derek J. Slur that people use against Pakistanis here, and he didn't find anything offensive about it.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. That's very offensive here. Like here, that is a very offensive.
Can
term
I please
here.
Tell
that's
a hate short crime story?
Offensive. Offensive is if you call Nima Arab. Because he's not.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But people think
I wouldn't think to do like.
Nima's dad was from Iran. I don't know if you guys know that, but he fled before the revolution and came here and married a hot Texan woman.
Well, I learned he didn't actually. He went to get his education here and didn't go back because of the revolution. I'll stay.
Yeah, it was a visa issue.
Yeah, I'll just stay.
But he married a hot Texan lady who's a really good friend of mine. Nima's mom. Let's talk about that. And she actually She makes a lot of the memes. She makes a lot of the memes for Campaign for Longer Leash. She makes the Campaign for Longer Leash dog and cat memes.
Meemaw. Yeah.
Some of them are really funny. Oh,
they're great.
I love memes.
It's her and Lou and Crazy Rich, I think.
That's right.
Oh, Crazy Rich.
I got to go get the yeast out of my lungs.
Okay.
Go and flush
your yeast out, boy.
Thrush.
Go clean your yeast.
Thrush lung.
Thrush lung. That's thrush my new Thrash Metal album.
I want to know the offensive term for people of Pakistani origin.
Oh, it's just the term Paki.
Oh, that's it? Oh.
And it's, okay.
I hear that's
better.
See if you go up and call someone who is Pakistani. If they don't punch you, you get done for a hate crime.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
No, if you call somebody that.
Like, it's really offensive here.
People with their skin tone, do you call them pachyderms? Like, you got some pachyderms.
No, I call them by their name. Like, there's some boys down at the shop, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're Asian, but it's weird because
what do you mean
I'm not saying they're Asian, but we talk and it's like it's funny because they'll bring something up and I'll say you just made it racial.
They're the kind of guys that their accents are exactly the same as ours, but they're Asian, and it's
they have the exact like, same relationship to this country as I do. I was not like this.
That's right.
See, this is it. Really, really bugs me when people start on it. I wasn't born in Scotland. I was born in Canada.
Yeah, right. You're a foreigner.
I moved here when I was 11 years old.
You're taking all my jobs.
Shut up, man. I came here when I was 11.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you a little story about that as well. Speaking of the term Paki for someone from Pakistan, it is a term here that is thrown around a lot. And when I got here, I thought that was just short for Pakistani. I thought that was just literally like a short term. And I remember one day.
It's wildly offensive though.
Yeah, no, seriously, you have no idea. If you call some, you wouldn't want to. Who would want to?
Do Pakistani rappers in Scotland use it a lot?
I don't know any.
Like, what's up, Paki?
I don't know of any.
Like, I really don't know any, to be perfectly honest.
But
most of the British hip hop I listen to is English.
Refer to themselves as Paki. Like, I've heard some guys would go, it's a Paki thing. But they say it themselves.
They're taking it back.
It's okay when they do it.
So fine. I'm taking it back. Yeah. No, but like I hope I'm not coming across badly here. I'm just trying to say that like when I came here, I was so naive and I didn't know that that was like a racial thing. And I remember saying it one day and I got really slammed hard by the teacher.
When
she was like, you do not call people that. What?
And you got off the boat from Canada.
Do they call Canadians cannies?
Just shut up.
Cannies or Canucks.
Canuck, we use the term Canuck.
I would say a Canuck. I usually get called because I'm from Vancouver.
Canuck sounds way more offensive because it's got that hard
K. You're just a Canuck. Canuck. It's got that UK, that harsh uck sound.
But are the Vancouver hockey team not the Canucks?
That is the Canucks.
Yeah.
Right. I'm really worried that people are going to think I'm racist now. I have to make a blog post and I'm not racist.
The only time...
I'm going to go write one.
It's rare that I feel somebody's racially offended me. It's happened a few times in my life. It's only when they think or make a joke about me going and doing something violent, because it means that if anybody who knows me knows that I'm, you know, peaceful anarchist guy, wouldn't hurt anybody or aggress against anybody, except in self-defense. But I had somebody recently, somebody who's a part of my family even, who I haven't been talking to for a while, say that, oh, he was talking to somebody else. He said, oh, that Nima, he's an anarchist, right? Oh, I bet if he went back to Iran, he would join ISIS.
And oh, that, God. That is the most like really ignorant. That's
ISIS
so,
are
like,
so not, they're the opposite of anarchists.
That's
too,
right. The they're called the Islamic State.
It's just an ignorant statement.
Well, they're also the exact mortal enemies of all the Iranians. So yeah, it's like fails twice for logic, and then third because personally you know me, and you know even if I was
this the Texas side of your family, I'm taking it, not the Iranian side.
I don't want to get into too many details because you might try to glean who it is, but
I know who it is.
You might.
Oh.
You're
all
your family
everything.
On my Facebook. Yeah. All right.
So creepy.
We'll leave
I'm
that
the
there
Central
probably.
Michael knows all.
Yeah, that, and then in high school, it was after 9/11. Somebody said this, and they were joking, so it didn't offend me that much because it was a joke, but I kind of felt like a little bit, ugh. They said, why'd you bomb our people? And I was like, I didn't do anything. I was watching
You're
it
like,
on TV.
You're like, dude,
TV,
I was
man.
Here. Like, yeah, I was watching it on TV too. Oh, I really, that's a real general ignorance that a lot of people do. That's sort of a collective, you know, they just collectivize.
You lump everyone together. Used to have it here. My parents used to talk about it. My dad specifically used to mention like how in the 70s, cause like you were Irish in Scotland and some people would think you were like automatically in the IRA or something like that. You know, like the Irish people here got treated badly when they first came here. You know, because all my grandparents are Irish and they came here and they got treated terribly when they first came here. You know, the old no Irish need apply beside, you know, places of work like shipyards and things like that.
I'm Irish too. I'm English, French, Canadian, Welsh, and Irish, and a little German in that order. So,
and he fights with
I got
himself
French,
constantly.
Canadian, and the Irish. Yeah, I have.
Right. You must
I'm
be
English
at odds
and Irish.
With yourself.
I'm English and Irish, so I'm fighting with
you
myself.
Hate yourself.
And I'm Irish and French Canadian, so I have secession in my blood.
Yeah.
Independence. Nima, didn't you and I do a show one time about Cat Stevens' comments about Salman Rushdie?
We did a show where we talked about Cat Stevens, and I can't imagine that subject wouldn't have come up, but we could talk about it again.
I want to read some of the things he actually said. I'd never
Is
actually
he called
know
that
he
now?
Said. No, he's
Is
called
Is he not still Yusuf Islam?
Yusuf Islam.
Still Yusuf Islam.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Pika Kitty. Freedom Fiends.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends Cultural Exchange Group. I'm here representing Texas. We've also got some Scotsmen, some Brits, and some Martians. What are you, Ben? I have no idea.
I am a wanderer.
Martian.
Hey, Nima, while I got
and
you
I'm
on
calling in, I'm calling in from the reddest state in America, Wyoming. It is.
By that you mean has the most Native Americans?
No, that was New Mexico. That's racist. Ooh, no, it's the most.
Shame.
It's the most Republican. Hey, you got to see this movie called. Okay. Everyone, go see this movie on YouTube called King Fury.
Yes.
No, Kung,
yes!
Kung Fury.
Kung Fury.
K-U-N-G-F-U-R-Y. It's not Kung Fury.
I was like, I'm gonna watch 1 minute of this because I have something to do, and then I watched the whole thing, and I was like, I might watch it again. But yeah, it was totally
it's
worth
it. It's a fake kung fu movie from like, supposed to be from the 80s, even to the point of like having points in it where they digitally put in distortion that you'd get from a VHS tape.
It says tracking and you can see like the white lines like it's a VHS tape.
I love
adjusting the tracking.
And it's done by a filmmaker who's like done a lot of ads and he's really good at special effects.
So good. Mm. So good.
I mean,
it was from Sweden though, right? Like
The
music is awesome, just like all the best pop producers are from Sweden and
it all sounds like protect my balls, like that kind of rock from the 80s. But actually it sounds more like Eye of the Tiger from the 80s, that kind of music. But it's I mean, it's about a time traveling cop who, like, you know, it's the typical like, you blew up a whole city block, you're under probation, officer. And the, you know, the cop's like, takes off his badge, puts it down, I quit. And then he goes out and solves the crime on his own, like that thing. But he ends
they try to give him a partner, Triceracop, who is a cop with a triceratops instead of a head.
Yeah, who's awesome. Who actually ends up being a good guy. But, okay, spoiler. There's no spoiler.
Don't spoil this for me.
I could relate the whole plot, and it wouldn't spoil anything about the majesty.
It would still blow your mind.
Yeah, it's kind of like... And it had a pretty high budget. He raised $600,000 on Kickstarter, but it's still like low budget in a way. Like if there were an Academy Award for like the most DIY thing ever, and I were the judge, he would get it. Okay, there is a scene in this movie. It's the scene where the cop's getting fired. You know, you've seen it a million times. Every mm-hmm. Dirty Harry movie, every South Park where there's a cop parodies this, where, you know, he's like, you're too much of a radical. You know, like the cop like oversteps the bounds to go after the guys who can't. He's a loose cannon and he's getting fired in the police station.
And the DA is always on his back.
Right. Here's the thing. He's in the police station. His boss is yelling at him. In the background, you see the activity of a police station. You see like 15 or 20 cops in uniform at their desks, carrying papers, going over to the fax machine, like just office kind of stuff. This is the most DIY thing, and I think he deserves an award for this single fact. All of the extras in that, all the cops in the background, they're all different people, but he did them one at a time and composited them together because he only had enough money to buy one cop uniform.
Oh my god.
Yeah. But he has enough money to buy a computer that can work on that many people at once in a composite.
Any good computer could do that. I mean, you know, my computer could do that.
If I had like 16 channels of video, man.
Oh, you just need like 64 gigs of RAM probably, but it could be done. But man, so we want to talk about, okay, I'll just interject it. So in 1989, there was a death fatwa against author Salman Rushdie for his book, The Satanic Verses, which was blasphemous against Islam. Here's one thing I didn't know. There's a character in the book, in Salman Rushdie's book, The Satanic Verses, that's based on Cat Stevens. It's a Western pop singer who becomes Muslim and is like Cat Stevens in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So it might have been personal, this beef, not just, you know, religious or cultural. But so Ayatollah Khomeini, now he was Iranian, right? Nemo?
Was he? Yeah. Correct. Yeah. During the revolution, he was doing podcasts. Well, tapes. He was actually in exile in France, and he would record himself on blank tapes giving his
selfies.
Decrees. Yeah. And they'd get passed around radical Islamic circles in Iran.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on. I'm just going to inject a weird reference.
Some people think that the CIA was somehow involved in bringing him back to Iran to kind of hijack the revolution, because originally it was kind of more democratic and socialist. I guess a lot of young kids were pushing the revolution. Then all of a sudden this old conservative religious guy comes and takes over. But we'll have more when we get back.
Kind of like when Bush was elected, or Reagan.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody really expected this guy to come in and take over, you know, during the revolution. Was he talked about in the...
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Do you guys feel it?
Do you feel it?
Yeah.
Tell me. Centauri.
Oh, yeah.
I feel it.
Yeah.
The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
I really want the BIPCOT license to spread, and it is. There's like five or six products using projects. You've got it.
Yeah.
And I think, Nima, you should start using it on your... how could you not use it, actually, on your music? Do you use Creative Commons or nothing on your music?
I use nothing.
I think you should use something and use BIPCOT. And as soon as you start using it, you will be linked, if you let me know, on the BIPCOT site.
I don't know. What are the people... How awesome would it be if DHS had I Own Me as their theme song?
They won't. Here's the thing. The license really doesn't protect you, because if governments want to use something, they don't care that you put a notice on it. It's like those ridiculous sig lines for email people have of like, attention, the National Security NSA, you have no right to use my copyrighted,
I hate that.
It's not that. But I just like the idea of putting in writing that governments and people who work for governments, individuals, are agreeing to be shamed without commentary or action if they violate it. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, those things are kind of my pet peeve with like Facebook or whatever, where people have that little notice on there, a whole chapter explaining why the government can't record or listen to you or whatever. And it's like, yeah, they're really going to pay attention to that.
Yeah.
Freedom
Fiends episode recently that was amazing. And it was like solid. It wasn't very funny. It was just solid, like once in a while. Once in a while, we have to do one that's like dropping mad science. And there was one that was Ben Stone, James Babb, and MK Lords talking about pre-Snowden, pre-internet leaking, people risking their lives and freedom to, you know, get government secrets of people, of like how the government was oppressing people and leaking it. And there was all this, it was in the 70s, and there was all this congressional hearings and newspaper articles and everything, and like nothing really changed. And that's the point. And it's like, you know, even if someone like Rand Paul somehow gets, you know, gets the government to agree, yes, everything the NSA is doing is illegal. And basically, didn't the Supreme Court say that like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? But
something along that line.
They
said it probably wasn't legal, but they didn't really make any changes because they said, well, it's coming up for sunset in a few weeks anyway, so nothing's going to change.
It'll get rubber
stamped. We'll let Congress decide.
It's probably illegal for me to beat you, but I'm going to go ahead and continue until I'm done.
Yeah. So speaking of that, let's talk about Cat Stevens. And then we're going to talk about how the Freedom Fiends can get away with a transition like that, and why that's like in our charter documents that we never wrote down. So in 1989, Ayatollah Khomeini put a death fatwa.
He was in France. You're right. I was like, why are you using a French accent? But yeah,
he was on exile in France making podcasts on cassette
tapes.
French? Wait, who was? Khomeini or Salman Rushdie? Salman Rushdie.
Khomeini. No, just Death to Americans Salmon. Voice sounded French to me.
That sticks with the Americans. That sticks with flow with the blood of the non-believers. That's actually from Beavis and Butthead. It's Beavis Butthead when he's channeling, when he's high on caffeine.
No, that's Beavis, yeah. TP from my bunghole. Yeah.
But he says, that streets will flow with the blood of the non-believers. At one point, it's a great
That's
line.
When he's Cornholio.
Cornholio.
Yeah, Cornholio. Yeah. Okay, so Cat Stevens.
Okay.
Here's the thing you have to know about Cat Stevens. He was like the mellowest hippie folk singer who made really cool music. Like, his hit song is called Peace Train, and it's this, like, the world's changing, and we're all getting on the peace trains, brother and sister. And then he converted to Islam and was, like, quiet and mellow and kind of hippie about it. You know, a few hippies did that back then. But then it turned out he was this, like, really extreme, you know, like, let me just read his statements. So he said that, you know, so the BBC asked him, you know, what do you think about the Khomeini's fatwa against Salman Rushdie, and Cat Stevens, who now goes by Yusuf Islam, said, this is when he was addressing students at a university. Someone asked him, and Cat Stevens said of Salman Rushdie, he must be killed. The Quran makes it clear. If someone defames the prophet, then he must die. And then he was interviewed on BBC's Hypotheticals, a show, and they asked him, do you think this man deserves to die? Yusuf Islam said, who, Salman Rushdie? The interviewer said, yes. Salman Rushdie, I'm going to call him Cat Stevens. It's easier. Cat Stevens said, yes, yes. And Robertson, BBC said, do you have a duty to be his executioner? Cat Stevens said, not necessarily, unless we were in an Islamic state and I were ordered by a judge or the authority to carry out such an act, perhaps yes. Ugh!
Yeah. Well, see, but the state is the problem even there. Saying, I don't have to kill him unless the government tells me to.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And what we're seeing now, too, is a lot of, like, even among our friends, is like, and co-hosts, is like, we have a few friends who are peaceful Muslims who are anarchists. And that sounds like, Muslim anarchists. That sounds scary to most people. But it's actually far less scary than, like, hippies like Cat Stevens saying, yes, if an Islamic state told me to murder somebody. Like, it's basically people who don't have the problems of a lot of, what you hear about Islam, the horror stories. Right. Because all the horror stories basically involve either the state, like, you know, Saudi Arabia mandating women can't wear fingernail polish, or people wanting to become a state like ISIS or ISIL is the Islamic state in the Levant.
They are a state, man. They are. The monopoly.
They've taken over countries, man. Yeah. Yeah.
Can I just make a kind of music-y,
like
interjection?
No.
Because
he said no.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
We were talking about peace train. I'm just going to do it anyway. You know.
Yeah, I really don't. I'm just going to talk.
Anarchy.
It's pure anarchy. But, like, you know, you're talking about Peace Train and Cat Stevens did it. I've got to say, the best version I've ever heard of Peace Train, I've heard several. No. Richie Havens. Played at Woodstock. Yeah.
Well, you know, 10,000 Maniacs, I went to college and high school with Natalie Merchant, and I've seen them like 70 times because they were the only thing to do in Jamestown, New York. So I would go see them like every weekend before they were famous, and they were really good back then. Natalie Merchant used to, like, during this one song, this, like, jammy song, jam kind of weird song, kind of dark jam song, she would, like, run out in the audience, knock over people's drinks, knock over people around. But the record label Elektra took the song Peace Train off the record and removed it from airplay because of Cat Stevens' fatwa. Or agreeing with the fatwa. And that's pretty bizarre, especially since, like now a label couldn't do that with the internet. They couldn't say, we will scrub this from the world, you know?
Yeah.
It would just bring attention to it. But I'm going to play a little Peace Train so you know, like, how ironic it is that this guy is, you know, what we're talking about.
Are you playing that now?
I'm queuing it up through the commercial.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say,
Peace Train is an imminent threat.
It's one of these commercials. You can't tell if it's for a psych. This commercial is like ladies running through peacefully through the fields of flowers. And I can't tell if it's for a psych med or an allergy med. So I don't know.
I actually think
that we should preemptively strike Peace Train.
Here it comes.
Can't stop the Peace Train, guys.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about
we're gonna get sued to come by you.
And I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world at one. And I believe it could be someday it's going to come. Cause I'm on the edge of darkness. their eyes. Peace train, oh peace train, take this country, come take me home.
Bring me the head of Salman Rushdie on a plate.
That was the next lyric.
That's the next line. Yeah, the remake.
Peace and love. Peace and love.
Kill, kill, kill.
Peace and love.
The peace train is loaded with explosives. Nima's going to get my door kicked in. Oh, all right. God. So, Nima, how did the freedom. Okay. Go ahead, Katie.
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I think it's Mrs. interesting Green. How he obviously, this man, Mr. Stevens, he's obviously looking for something because I think to be sort of a hippie.
You have to be seeking.
You need to be seeking something, and I think I don't think it's necessarily a problem, like whether it's, you know, ISIS or Catholicism or any other kind of you know, coming together of people as a collective, and you have your kind of own set of rules to go by. I think that's more the problem. The state itself, it's not the thing. It's not
agreed.
The actual.
Agreed.
It's not the. It's yeah. all, they're all different beasts. It's just,
you know, my Rushdie number is 2 because I've interviewed someone who interviewed Salman Rushdie, Michael Silverblatt.
So you have the two degrees of Salman
separation
Rushdie.
From Salman Rushdie.
That's better,
yeah, because I interviewed in the Selby movie. I interviewed Bookworm. The one station that Scott Horton is on. That like KPFA or whatever out in California.
KPFK,
In Los Angeles, yeah. He's like the only non-leftist on that whole show. So, but they have a book show on there called Bookworm with Michael Silverblatt. And I interviewed Silverblatt for the Selby movie because he'd interviewed Selby and was good and kind of friends with him too. He'd interviewed him several times. And he'd also interviewed Salman Rushdie, like in the studio during the fatwa. Like, you know, Salman Rushdie came out of hiding and like came over to the KPF studios, like snuck over in the back of a van or something to be interviewed on air.
I wonder, maybe, you know, since you were concurrent with that time, but is Salman Rushdie dead? Is he still around?
No.
He's still alive. Yeah,
the reason I ask is because there's this whole Islamophobia industry in the States right now. But how come he's not like a part of it? You never hear Pam Geller quoting the Satanic Verses.
Nobody cares anymore.
Because he's British. Because he's British and Indian.
That's what I'm wondering.
Is she would have to know
he's
how
a leftist
sounds so
too.
Weird
like,
that rednecks gonna... here think he's a Muslim and they don't
Salman
get it.
Rushdie? Salman Rushdie is not a Muslim. I think he's
no, I know, but a redneck's so dumb that they think he atheist, is, probably. And so Pam Geller won't quote him. Because
maybe
because
he has a funny last name, but it's an right. Indian name. It's not a Middle Eastern name.
I don't know if Pamela Gelder. I don't know if Pam Gelder. Oh my! I don't know if she can actually read or not. From what I've
oh right, that's it.
Thank you know,
well, she looks like I did a whole show about how I thought she looked like Satan's whore, which is something
that
like Cat Stevens would probably blessed. Call her. She would probably call her that, you know, he would. So it's probably something I would agree with Islam, Yusuf Islam about is that Pamela Geller looks like Satan's concubine, Satan's whore. Let's not mince words.
Oh my.
Okay. So
I think I saw a made for TV movie about Salman Rushdie on the BBC. Seriously.
Yeah, I'm sure. He's a
we'll
media darling. He's a
back.
Very famous author.
Listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is Squiskar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
2 designs for Guns and Weed, the road to freedom.
3 designs for Fiend Phone.
Pipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks, you can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Microsoft time.
The drone coming.
There's a drone coming. Oh, wait, no, it's my neighbor mowing the yard. I'm my window open because it's summer and stuff. So, so Nima's
on Spotify. Do you remember Fiend Drone, Michael? Fiend Drone.
Well, Nima, you haven't heard the connection sound when Fiend Phone connects, have you?
Yeah, it says Fiend Phone, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's DJ saying Fiend Phone. Yeah.
Yeah, but we have it turned off. For a brief moment, remember we had Fiend Drone, and it was when we had a caller wanted to get off the air.
And then we just Fiend Drone'd them. Yeah, shortly after you left the show, maybe before, I just decided callers are ridiculous and stopped taking
them.
They interrupt my thoughts, man. I got things to say.
Okay,
I don't even get it in anyway. So Nima's on Spotify, right? Katie, Anima's echoing, but we don't care. We'll let him because it sounds psychedelic. So, Katie, you heard him on Spotify, right? It's Nima V, and it's the song "I Own Me." It's on there because I put us on you. I put your songs, all the songs from the movie, all the hip hop, rap, musical group songs from Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom, is a good movie. Everyone should go see if they like guns or weed, even if they hate things. Gunsandweed.com. Go to gunsandweed.com. It's a movie Nima and I made. It's basically this show came out of that movie, and we're going to talk about that for at least 13 minutes. So, but Nima's like, you didn't know you were on Spotify, right?
Yeah, I had no idea I was on Spotify. No.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was
on my to-do list was like get on Spotify. But hey, well, I don't have to do it.
I did it for you because that's how I am. So back in the day, I put all our songs on from the movie. There was this service. I can't remember what it's called,
TuneCore. They email TuneCore. Me like once a day.
Yeah. I've changed my email address, which is probably why I can't get in there to get the $7 they have for 4 years of playing our stuff. Yes. The it's less than that. It was like I checked like a year ago, and it was like $1.04. Yes, you can buy a Faygo if you don't have to pay sales tax. All right, so you're on there. So what did you say about Feral, who's like the most popular pop musical
Feral
singer?
Feral Cat Stevens.
Pharrell Williams.
Yeah.
I don't know about you kids and your wacky rap musical hip hop Stabmaster.
He's the happy guy.
He also goes by Stabmaster Arson, right? That's his other name, isn't it? Or Dead Mike.
That's my rapper name.
Yeah. Nima's rap.
Lil Scrotum.
What were our rap names, Nima? We had some funny ones. It was Stab, something about, God, the Sniper. What was the one? I was DJ Choreboy. No, I was, it was, which is a reference to smoking
Library.
Crack.
MC Library.
Library. But there was something about shooting people. What was it? It was something about assassins or, I don't know.
Putting me on the spot.
Stabmaster Arson.
Probably that sounds like a Wu-Tang name.
That's Stab from Master CB4. Arson. It's Stabmaster Arson, Dead Mike, and and I forget the main one. He stole
Chris
his name
Rock.
From Chris Rock.
Dead Mike is good.
Dead Mike is a great double entendre.
That is good.
But I like Stabmaster Arson a lot too. Okay, so what were we talking about? We're talking about how the Fiends became what we are.
Yeah, Pharrell. I said Pharrell made like 2,000 off of Happy. But I think I'm wrong.
Which is like the biggest hit song in the last 5 or 10 years. Like it has, I think the video has 170 million views on YouTube. So
it's just him dancing.
With that, it is it's a really stupid hook. It was big here.
Because I'm happy.
Oh,
retarded.
Yeah,
it's retardedly infectious. It is retarded.
It makes people dance, though.
It makes
old people
and
young people dance.
Do you play it, Nima, at weddings?
Yeah, it kind of works because it's one of the few songs that's that fast. It's 160 BPM. The only other songs I can think of that I normally play are Hey Ya is the exact same speed, so you can mix Hey Ya.
Hey Ya's a beautiful. I love that.
And that's a great song.
That's a great song.
And Taylor Swift's Shake It Off is really close in tempo. So, and they're twice the tempo of a bunch of 85 BPM songs. So if people are actually dancing to like the 85 BPM songs and they want to get faster, sometimes I'll bump it up to Happy.
Yeah.
And it'll work.
Yeah.
Well, that song was everywhere here. Yeah.
A lot of artists have been complaining in the mainstream press about how little they make on regular streaming services like Spotify. And I can't remember if it was Pharrell.
Go ahead and keep. I'll just keep this playing in the background.
Or somebody was complaining on the news the other day.
See, though, while we were talking, Kay and I, I was at work, I was listening to the radio, and I heard Pete Seeger's What I Learned in School Today. And we decided we were going to do a weird version of it, and we made this kind of weird sort of semi-electronic sort of... Basically, we take a popular Pete Seeger song and make it into a downer.
Yeah, it's really happy.
We take a catchy
song.
It's online. We actually shared it on Facebook. It's a catchy song, and we make it into a complete downer. But with Katie's cynical, it's with Katie's sheer cynicism. Farrell. Because
you can hear the Farrell. Cynicism in my voice.
Harry Farrell, Harry Farrell, Cat Farrell Stevens, Farrell Cat Stevens. I think that should be somebody's rap name, man. Farrell Cat Stevens. You know, really, when Cat Stevens is more hardcore than a lot of rappers, man. Cat Stevens is like, I'd kill the mofo myself. Yo, Stab Master Arson Cat Farrell, yo.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to present the 3rd Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan from August 7th through the 10th. There will be vending, discussions, presentations, all sorts of activities for children and adults, and bacon, lots of bacon. Round up your friends and family and get them registered today at miplc.org. That's miplc.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Yeah, it's Audacity time. It's not Microsoft time, Ben. There's no time code in Audacity. Microsoft time's pretty good time. You know, people can say horrible things about Microsoft, but Microsoft generally keeps pretty good time because it boots to some central scrutinizer server. So to keep time timed. So Nima Vidotti, tell us the Reader's Digest condensed how we got to the Freedom Fiends. Oh, wait, I got to go burn Cat Stevens in effigy. So,
good luck.
But tell us how the Fiends came to be and why, in particular, why we decided early on to set the template. You and I set the template to not be like all the other libertarian anarcho-capitalist shows that just go, oh, the sky is falling. Obama's going to take your guns. Instead, we just laugh at the state. Okay. How did that decision come to be?
Okay. You invited me over when I moved
Speak
to
up,
Casper.
Son. Speak up,
yeah.
son.
You invited me to your home to eat buffalo chili. I had just moved to Casper.
That's not a euphemism.
Seen the video for... No, it's not a euphemism. Well, you need chili.
Go back.
And that's
go
not
back.
A euphemism how... either.
How did I... So here's how I met you. You did this hip-hop rap musical song called I Own Me that got blogged. I saw it mentioned on the Free State Wyoming forum, but they were quoting, I think, Lou Rockwell blogged.
It was on
right?
Lou Rockwell's blog. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's how I met you. That's the first and last thing Lou Rockwell ever did for liberty, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I don't know. He just doesn't acknowledge me, so I don't like
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's how it goes, man, because the Fiends, you don't know the majesty of the Fiends. You are old. In liberty. Like, if you're not up, if you're not telling everyone to hear the Fiends, your grandpa, you're like, I mean, he used to like send faxes to Murray Rothbard, or was it the other one? I forget. I'm
you're not
kidding.
With that.
Which one died in our lifetimes, Ben?
Yeah, both of them, Mises and Rothbard.
Yeah. Well, you know, Lou Rockwell literally used to send faxes every day back and forth with one of those guys. Which one was it?
Probably,
I don't know.
Rothbard.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know what we're like? You know, do you know the rapper, the rap musical artist, young Soulja Boy, Nima?
Soulja Boy.
Oh, yeah.
You know
I'm not Thank saying we're. He's fake. He's gaff. He's gaffer. But have you seen his like rap beef videos with Ice-T?
Oh no. Oh, I remember the Boondocks kind of making fun of that when Thugnificent and Sergeant Gutta get into a beef.
Like Ice-T is one is you know, I mean he plays cops on TV, but he's a real OG rapper. He's like someone you kind of got to respect if you're looking at the history of rap. Wouldn't you say?
I guess. Being a cop on SVU for like
killed
10
it all,
years.
Killed all your goodwill for him.
I can't say that. Yeah.
Well, for you got to know though, in his real life, he is pro ownership of guns, which not a lot of you know celebrities like.
He's not a statist. He just plays one on TV.
Right. Exactly. So, but Soulja Boy is like Ice-T. I don't know who that is. Like it's just his acts with his teenage friends in his mansion.
Right. Like, and playing the Rugrats theme on his synthesizer.
Yeah, and yelling into an iPhone. Like, and it has like some million hits. He's like, Ice-T, I don't even know that. How are you going to do a song called F the Police and then play a cop on TV? And it's like, he didn't even do F the Police. That's NWA. Yeah. Like, either he doesn't even know the history or he knows it and he's just being really funny and clever. Like,
So
that's what I'm doing to Lou Rockwell. I know he's someone you got to respect, you know, but I don't know. He's got a lot of, he's doing kind of the equivalent of playing the cop on SUV because he's got a lot of bloggers now on his site who are just like, I think he lets anybody on.
He doesn't. He's very
He lets Randy England on, but it's because they're Catholic. They're both Catholic.
Right.
We like anyway, Randy England. He's one of our co-hosts. But
weren't supposed to pod beef. We were supposed to say the history of the
Fiend. I can't help it, man. I can't go 5 minutes without a pod beef. All right, go ahead, Nima. Tell me the history of this. So I heard this. I wrote you on MySpace. That's how long we've known each other.
Really?
Yes, I did. Because that was the only way I could find contact to you. It said
you
lived in Austin. I was like, we need to do a song over the internet. And you're like, oh, I live in Casper. I'll be right over. Actually, at first you ignored me. Like, who is this Michael Dean? I don't know.
I've been there, done that.
Arm of Wyoming.
You thought I was a Republican or something. I did. But I kind of was back then for a minute.
You talked me out of it. I come into your house and you're watching Fox News and you want to show me all your guns.
I know. But then I taught you to get guns and I sold you your first gun.
That's right. No, you didn't. I picked that up. It was after a boating accident. I found a crate of used guns.
Yeah, we don't want to say on the air. That's how people register their weapons in Wyoming. They mention them on the radio. All right, so so you and I decided to make a rap musical song together. What was the first song we made?
Oh, man.
We Will Not Disarm?
We will, Agree to Disagree, but it never became a song. It's unreleased. It's sitting on my hard drive.
Ooh. That should be released.
It should
I don't want to be. I probably wouldn't stand by it anymore.
No,
I don't.
It was good.
Agree to disagree with statists.
That's true.
At all. Is that what it's about?
It was disagree to disagree or something like that. It was that thing that you just said.
I like that. Yeah. Okay. Good. It was iffing. All right.
We were talking on Chili, and I was like, oh, I want to make an album, man. Will you help me make an album? You're like, no, let's make a movie, man. And I was like, I don't know about that. And you're like, a documentary. And I was like, I don't know about that. And then I think we were like, well, let's make a documentary, but it won't be like a lame documentary. It'll be like quick pop hits, a bunch of little clips.
It'll be Vines.
Vignettes.
It was Vines.
That are funny. Yeah, that was kind of before Vine.
I didn't
That's
even
what
know
we
the term Vines
of.
Back then. I don't think
they didn't exist
was a
back
term
then.
Yeah.
What's a Vine?
It's a compilation of, there's like, okay, cat vines. Like if you search cat vines on YouTube, you're going to get a video that's a half hour long that's the money shot of 40 other cat videos that are doing silly things.
Vine is a website where it's like Twitter, but for video. So it's 7 seconds is the rule. So you can
upload a
video.
I thought that was Snapchat.
No, there's one called Vine.
Oh, for
goodness
sake.
I think it's called Twatter.
Twaddle.
Twaddle.
No, that's
Twaddle.
A different Twaddle. Yeah, that's a different
website. Don't Google.
I've just become comfortable with Twitter.
Twitter's,
so I'm going to wait.
Oh, are you on Twitter?
In a few years.
Oh, you're on Twitter. I tweet to you all the time. What do I say? I hate Facebook.
These young fellas, these whippersnappers are really into the Vine. My little brother, he's like 13.
Dan, should we Vine?
Yeah, he shows me Vine.
That's because that's the the attention span is 7 seconds. You know what it is? Oh. It's a rodeo attention span. If you
is
can stay for 8 seconds, 8 seconds is too long. Rodeo is too long for Vine.
So if we lost a lot of people listening to this because we're not a Vine.
So Nima, turn down your headphones a little bit, and we're going to run out of time here. So tell how we made this movie and what happened and how we decided to make.
So we decided that we're going to do a doc, and that the name would be Guns and Weed because that was one of the things we were brainstorming, and we noticed that nobody else had the website domain gunsandweed.com. We're like, okay, it's decided. That's going to be the movie.
And the whole thing was, the point was, like, you know, if you're single issue about guns or single issue about weed, like a lot of people are, but hate the other side, you're doing it wrong. Because, you know, real freedom, there's no such thing as half free, is the tagline my wife came up with through the movie, and it really sums it up. It's like, and it's basically an introduction. It's propaganda with facts to bring you dragging and screaming from statist or minarchist to anarchist in 90 minutes.
Propaganda.
Yeah, it's proper. It's proper. Proper. Parappa the Rappa? Yeah, okay.
Parappa the Rappa. Yeah, and then we wanted to do a podcast, and we called it the Guns and Weed Podcast, but then we wanted to branch out.
For six episodes, if you go back and listen and they're all up on the Freedom Feed site and on the torrents, if you listen to the Freedom Fiends' first six or seven episodes, we are calling them the Guns and Weed Podcast on there, even though they're rebranded now, like the file name has changed to Freedom
And we
Fiends,
knew that we wanted it to be kind of this, we make jokes, we have quick hits, pops, and references, kind of like The Fiends is now, but we weren't that good at it for the first few episodes. So it was kind of like Michael would say, Nima, how does this work? And then I'd go on like a monologue for like 6 minutes, and Michael would constantly interrupt me. And then
my ADD contributed to, like all these things came together of what Nima had and what I had. And one of the things was, like, Nima was really studious. Like, he had read all the libertarian masters, and I had not, and I still have not. So he could tell you, like, you know, the economic theory behind blah 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 blah, and I'd allow it, but I'd interrupt it and then steer off in a weird funny direction. And the thing was, like, Nima's funny as hell in real life, but when he was talking about libertarian stuff, he wasn't funny at all. He was kind of dry and academic, but kind of quick, like, you know, not like Lou Rockwell, like where you fall asleep. Like, he was actually like did it interesting, but it wasn't funny. And I'd be like, come on, man, let's make this funny. Let's make it funny. And I would steer it off in different directions. So Nima had the mad science, and we both had the funny, but he didn't bring the funny until I made him bring the funny, really, I think. Because you were used to doing videos for, like, you know, the Wyoming Liberty Group, where you're up in front of a podium reading a prepared speech. And you were used to doing, you did the nightly news, you know, they covered all of Wyoming. You forgot your day job was, you know, you were an ABC news correspondent.
I've blocked it out.
You wore a suit, man, and read what the man told you to read.
So corporate
you were used to doing this, really, like, you were a corporate stooge, and, you know, but you had the chops to do, like, live media really well from day one. So we kind of brought a lot both to the table, and really, like, there's Fiends co-hosts now who don't even know who you are. They probably know who you are, but they haven't like listened to the old Fiends much, who are like amazing, man, that are like, they're you. They're being you and me. Like, even when I'm not on, it's you and me. Like, it's that vibe. We've built this. There's a template, and they're doing it, you know?
Right. Like you said, like, Soulja Boy didn't have to know who Ice-T is.
Exactly.
He doesn't have to. Yeah.
Can I say, like, now we were talking about, like, a lot of how... No, I can't say.
Go ahead.
Now we were talking about how we get into a lot of different stuff. That's what we liked about The Fiends originally, the fact that it was like a proper conversation, because if you're just having a straight up interview with someone, it's just question, answer. But if you're having a conversation, then it's not based on, you know, you go off on different tangents, you fall down rabbit holes. And I think people like to listen to that. And that's what we try and do with our stuff. We try and make it more like a conversation.
Well, that's how brains work. I heard Joe Rogan talking once, and he said, you know, when you're listening to stand-up comedy, you're sharing that person's consciousness. And you don't want to share somebody's consciousness who's boring. You know, they're taking you on a ride. And so when we're thinking in our everyday lives, we're not thinking about one subject for half an hour. You know, it's like, it's like, what do I got to do today? Squirrel sex, you know?
Thank God.
I don't have to do that anymore.
But you can still think about it.
I'm looking at it out of my window. What are you talking about? Spring in Wyoming, man. I'm literally looking at squirrels chasing each other. And
they get freaky, too, man.
They have sex for like 2 seconds, and then they're done. And then they chase more and then do it, you know.
It's do you guys still have red squirrels, or is it just gray ones?
Most of them, I think they have red squirrels in America, but most where we live and most of America, it's the gray squirrels.
Yeah, same.
Yeah,
here,
the gray killed most of the red ones here in this country. Actually,
I love squirrels.
The red Scottish, the groundskeeper, willy squirrels.
What they are obviously. Is the rats in cuter outfits.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they are.
Essentially,
they're
awesome. It's gross.
I feed them. Well, the word actually comes from the Greek for hairy rat.
Squirrel.
Really? Yeah.
Yep.
Squirtle. 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 It's a weird word.
So Nima, are you? I have it on my. Squirtle. I have it on my calendar, Nima.
Does that work?
For Nima to be. I have it on my calendar, like next week or tomorrow, next day, Nima, to like start. You told me like 2 months ago. In 2 months, talk to me. I might be able to be on the Fiends more. So, is that a thing?
On the
that's
spot.
The thing. Yeah, I have a little bit of time this month. And
here's what
July.
I think, Nima. I think
email me.
I think we should book you some. But I think also anytime we're doing a live show, if you want to be on, email you me and I'll give you the password of the day. You can just jump on.
You can just
because we can do like if we can get to where we can do
You're
like
listening
five
to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes,
you guys.
We're broadcasting this into space.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
What's the name? Singer, Natalie Merchant. Squirrel Sex Merchant. Natalie Squirrel Sex Merchant.
Natalie Merchant. So
Natalie Squirrel Sex
you
Merchant.
You tell this Natalie Squirrel Sex Merchant and Feral Cat Stevens got together walking to a bar. No, you used to tell me, you told this story about how you'd go watch Natalie Merchant and her band, the 10,000 Maniacs, would kind of roll their eyes because she'd come and she'd take her microphone out of her purse while they were setting to record for the hours and hours. She'd put her microphone up, connect it, sing, and then at the end of the night, she'd put her microphone
back in
her purse.
Let me tell that more clearly. She would show up. She wouldn't do the sound check. The band would show up, move all the equipment. She would show up. There would be a microphone stand in the front of the band where they'd already done all this hard physical labor setting up and sound checking. She'd show up 5 minutes before the gig started, pull her mic out of her purse, put it on the mic stand, do the three sets, and then put her mic back in her purse and leave and let the band move the equipment. She was
so gangsta how she had that mic in her purse.
I know.
That was her get.
It should have been like, you know, gold plated or something.
Yeah.
Maybe it was.
I think it was an SM57 though. It was nothing cool.
Okay.
I think the only album I've heard of theirs was In My Tribe, and that's it.
That's the one with Peace Train. Or if you had it before they took it off. Okay, so we want to talk about does this segue into anything?
Yes, I was near the end of the Fiends that was just me and you. You would say that Nima's just like Natalie Merchant.
I did.
I don't know
because I was doing all the work and all the heavy lifting, and I still am. Which is why whatever little money comes in, I have no problem saying I take all the money from the Fiends, and that sounds really like selfish. But we're talking like tops $200 a month, and I have probably $170 a month in expenses. So I'm making $30 a month for full-time work of cat juggling of all these weird friends and having like kept it going when you had to split to go make babies. Now, like, here's how that happened. It was like you said, okay, there was a point where we were doing two live radio shows a week. We started as a podcast. We are, as far as I know, and no one's ever told me different about this. As far as I know, we are the only syndicated radio show that started as a podcast. So it is possible. So we went from podcast to radio. That's a whole nother story. Free Talk Live helped us get on GCN. Thank you, Free Talk Live. And
good radio there.
And then it is good radio. So
on the Fiend phone too.
Yeah. Well, I brought some of the college radio vibe to this too because I used to do college radio at the same college where Natalie Merchant used to do college radio, where she used to take acid and lock herself into the studio for 12 hours and not let the other DJs in. Her and Skip Lunch, my friend. So we brought this vibe to the whole table where, like, it kind of didn't matter who the players were. And the way that happened, you know, the way we've got like people now doing the show who've never probably even heard much of the old Fiends, but they are Fiends and have the same vibe Neem and I had because we've trained them, because it's trickled down, because and we choose carefully who we put on here. Now, Greens, would you say that the Fiends were any kind of influence on you before we ever talked?
Yeah, actually, I would say so. It was like, because of that kind of conversational style, and we'd been kind of doing that anyway, because we'd just been like recording our conversations and sharing them. And then actually we found the Fiends, and it was like, they're having these conversations, but they're doing it on the radio, you know, instead of a typical sort of like, here's the news, or I'm interviewing this guy, and here's the questions. But you know, that kind of thing.
Radio is not a thing here, though.
Yeah.
Right. That's why it was also quite refreshing to hear an anarchist sort of view.
And the thing is, like, see, a natural conversation, it's easier to listen to, because that's how people really talk. Yeah. See, if you're sitting in your house with someone, that's how you talk. You don't sit and interview someone in your house unless you're
bored. We had to create our own software to even be able to do that, Fiendphone, because it doesn't cut you off the way Skype does. So even though we're in different countries, it sounds like we're in the same room, more or less. So,
well, actually, there was Audio Cactus for a little bit, where we paid $200 for a license so we couldn't have the interruptions from Skype.
I have no recollection of this. I don't know.
And then you invented Fiendphone to do it for free.
I don't know what Audio Cactus is. I think you're hallucinating.
I have no idea what that is. But all I know is Skype will make it so you cannot talk over each other.
Right.
It's like the man. It makes decisions for you. So, and our Mexican correspondent is influenced by the Fiends too. He has a podcast that's like the Spanish language Fiends, and like he was like that before we ever talked. And I'm not saying that if someone does a show influenced by us, you're going to end up on the show, because we're actually, I think we're full when we add. do you know Angela Keaton's going to be a Fiend?
Yeah, you know? I think I heard a tweet about it.
Yep.
Bill Keaton.
Is no idea who Angela that is. Keaton? I'm excited.
Antiwar.com.
Yeah. I've been wanting to ask you, what song is this music from? I've always wanted to know.
I wrote it. I wrote this.
I know. Which song?
It's called Stints in Sunrise. I made it for the show.
Oh, you made it for the show?
I made it for Michael Dean After Dark, which is another chapter that we can get to.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Nima.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Katie.
Thank you,
we built that.
I'm glad you sent me the files, Michael.
Glad you
love it,
Nima.
Yeah.
Send me the files. Oh, for
this
song?
This is crazy.
Yeah.
All right. What's crazy?
I love the drums coming up.
I do too.
The drums are coming.
They're not real drums.
Yeah, there it is. You don't have to tell. You're shattering the illusion.
Okay,
Mike.
It's real drums. I played the drums.
All right. Thank you.